promoting scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captain of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, Editor-in-Chief. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall when the first meetings of the Trilateral Commission took place in 1973, and even meetings that led up to it, for that matter, from maybe a year or two before that. Those would have included David Rockefeller, of course, the very wealthy financier and oil man, and also Zbigniew Brzezinski, the brilliant strategist from Columbia University, who teamed up with Rockefeller to co-found the Trilateral Commission in 1973. In my reading and research going back to that period of time, these were the folks who crafted the visionary policies looking forward to create a system of technocracy. This clearly was their strategy for globalization. I adequately traced the genesis of this in both of my books, Technocracy: Rising the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation, as well as Technocracy, the Hard Road to World Order. That is not particularly in question. What is in question, however, when someone is a visionary looking forward, they really don't have a crystal ball. They, of course, had no idea that Google would exist or that Eric Schmidt would become the CEO of Google and later a member of the Trilateral Commission itself. He was just a young kid back then in 1973. They didn't have any idea that AOC would be elected to the House of Representatives and be a champion of the Green New Deal. They had no realization of the fact that sustainable development would be used as a new marketing name to feed technocracy to the United Nations, although they knew they could do it, and they had the money behind them to do it. And when they finally did it in 1987, with the closure of the Brundtland Commission that gave all of the material to the First Earth Summit to create the first iteration of Agenda 21. The Agenda 21 document didn't exist in 1973. It was simply a vision looking forward. But all of the things that have happened since then, since 1973, 1987, 1992, and moving forward, all of those things were seen as a visionary picture of what the future would look like. And as they kicked it off back then with studies and grants and academics working tirelessly to produce new policies for the new system, as they pulled on every conceivable connection they had. For instance, somebody went to the United Nations in 1974 and convinced the United Nations to vote on a general resolution to create a new international economic order. That was the exact same phrase coined and used by the Trilateral Commission in 1973. Somebody pulled the string to do that. Well, we know that the Rockefeller family had deep, deep connections to the United Nations. That would not have been a difficult thing. But as they set the ball in motion, rolling down the hill, if you will, we end up today looking at this huge, huge picture all around the world, wondering, how did we get here? How did it happen that we have all of these different things happening at the same time now with sustainable development, Green New Deal, total surveillance in multiple countries, killer robots roaming the world now? How did we get to this point? Well, the visionaries that existed in 1973, they were the ones that started it. From their point of view, I guess you could say they did a good job. From our point of view, we're trying to get out from under it as fast as we can. Globalization has been no friend to the citizens of the world, not in any country, not on any continent. Everybody has suffered a negative impact from globalization. And the only people still promoting it are the globalists themselves. They are the ones that put all the money behind the rhetoric that we see all around the world that globalization will only be successful if we have more globalization. That's their answer. Well, I think it's time to reject it altogether. And the role of Technocracy News and Trends is simply to point out how technocracy is encroaching all around the world. Today's articles are no exception. The first article is titled, Big Brother Cometh. Massive license plate database exceeds 150 million people. This is an incredible story because we have reported multiple times when public officials swear that they're not building a national database on anything. And then we see stories like this come out that states that license plate readers are being used around the country to hoover up millions and millions of license plates and connecting them to other demographic data and personal data to build a master record on people. There's no reason for this. There's no call for it. There's no congressional mandate. There's not even a mandate from the administration to do this. Yet, private companies, in conjunction with police departments, are creating this massive, over-the-top database of license plates that have been hoovered from cameras mounted over the top of freeways and streets that can capture the license plate in real time and connect it to the people who own those cars. This article states our worst fears about automatic license plate readers, the acronym for that is ALPR, are much worse than we could have imagined. 2 months ago, I warned everyone that police in Arizona were using ALPRs as ALPRs to grid entire neighborhoods. But this story brings public surveillance to a whole new record. And by the way, Technocracy News and Trends carried that story about gridding entire neighborhoods. Basically, what gridding means is that patrol cars equipped with license plate readers simply drive up and down streets when they're not busy doing other things and collect all of the license plates that they can find as they drive along. Those would be cars that are parked on the street, perhaps cars that are parked in driveways, or cars that are traveling on the road. They just record them all. Well, this article continues. Last month, Recore Systems announced that they had launched the Recore Public Safety Network, that's RPSN, which gives law enforcement real-time access to license plates. Quote, any state or local law enforcement agency participating in the RPSN will be able to access real-time data from any part of the network, catch this now, at no cost. The company is initially launching the network by aggregating vehicle data from customers in over 30 states. With thousands of automatic license plate reading cameras currently in service that capture approximately 150 million plate reads per month, the network is expected to be live by the first quarter of 2020. Close quote. RPSN is a 30-state real-time law enforcement license plate database of more than 150 million people. And the scary thing about it is, it's free. The president of Recore, Robert Berman, said, we don't think our participants should be charged for accessing information from a network they contribute to, especially when it provides information that has proven its value in solving crimes and closing cases quickly. Want to encourage law enforcement to spy on everyone? Well, give them free access to a massive license plate database. RPSN's AI software uses machine learning to predict when and where a hotlisted person or person of interest will be. Quote, Recore software, powered by artificial intelligence and machine learning, can also be added to existing law enforcement security camera networks to search for law enforcement-related hot lists as well as Amber Alerts and registered sex offender motor vehicles. Recore admits that police in 30 states are probably spying on more than 150 million license plates every single month. Who gives Recore permission and encouragement to do such a thing? Well, the federal government, basically, because there's no law against them doing it. Is it absolutely outrageous? Yes, it is. But, like the article says, giving police departments something free is irresistible. So they're taking it. My comments in this article were, throwing legality and the Constitution aside, technocrats lust after data on society. Collecting data in real time is the holy grail of AI that is used for instant analysis and reporting of actionable offenses. I rest my case. We're headed toward a police state. Only citizens can stop it. Only citizens must act to stop it. The second article is titled AOC, your favorite Green New Deal person, by the way. AOC, do my Green New Deal or Miami will vanish. I wrote Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez levels a veiled threat against Miami, Florida. If leaders don't implement her Green New Deal, and soon, namely, her threat is that global warming will sink the city into oblivion. This is sounding more like a Marvel comic theme every day to me. This article starts out, quote, if you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it, close quote, said Nazi propaganda master Joseph Goebbels. Such is the case with global warming hysterics who have recently begun to make headway among concerned citizens. When Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez came on the scene, she immediately began to make wild, hysterical predictions about the end of civilization, such as, quote, millennials and people, you know, Gen Z and all these folks that will come up after us are looking up and we're like, the world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change. And your biggest issue is how we're going to pay for it? Crazy. To be fair to AOC, she was quoting a UN report that claims in 12 years we'll reach a point of no return when it comes to climate change. That is, if we don't do something in 12 years, warming will be out of control and we'll be unable to avert catastrophe. Anthony Watts performs the necessary lobotomy, quoting from a 1989 AP report, quote, a senior UN environmental official says entire nations could be wiped off the face of the earth by rising sea levels if the global warming trend is not reversed by the year 2000. Oh yeah, this was written in 1989. Coastal flooding and crop failures would create an exodus of eco-refugees, threatening political chaos, said Noel Brown, director of the New York office of the UN Environmental Program, or UNEP. He said governments have a 10-year window of opportunity to solve the greenhouse effect before it goes beyond human control, close quote. Now, that was written in 1989. It was 1999 that was 10 years later. Not only did we not reach the tipping point in 1999, but we didn't reach it in 2009, and we haven't reached it in 2019. It's still 12 years out, says AOC. Well, they keep moving the finish line. The article continues, but don't try and stop AOC. She's on a roll. At an NAACP forum yesterday, AOC predicted that the city of Miami could disappear in a few years unless her Green New Deal is enacted. The Washington Examiner reported on this and said, quote, when it comes to climate change, what is not realistic is not responding with a solution on the scale of the crisis, because what's not realistic is Miami not existing in a few years, the New York Democrat said Wednesday at an NAACP forum. So we need to be realistic about the problem. The only thing I think that AOC could do to be realistic right now would be to quit making hysterical, alarmist comments like this. AOC has tried to make climate change a radical issue because, well, it's easier to sell that way. And apparently all those people who were going to die before 2000 if we didn't do anything about global warming are mostly people of color. Actually, her agenda is not hidden at all. The Green New Deal has little to do with climate change and everything to do with economic justice. And I might add, that means technocracy, sustainable development. Just that simple. It had its genesis way back when. They had no idea that AOC was going to be promoting it today. But here she is, resource-based economic system where everything is taken over by the technocrats, scientists and engineers who will run everything according to their scientific algorithms. The last story concerns an ex-Google engineer. Killer robots could start war. I wrote, as governments ramp up in the AI arms race to direct autonomous robots with a license to kill, the risk of horrible mistakes rises as well, including the possibility of starting a robot war. This article states a new generation of autonomous weapons or killer robots could accidentally start a war or cause mass atrocities, a former top Google software engineer has warned. Laura Nolan, who resigned from Google last year in protest at being sent to work on a project to dramatically enhance U.S. military drone technology, has called for all the AI killing machines not operated by humans to be banned. Nolan said killer robots not guided by human remote control should be outlawed by the same type of international treaty that bans chemical weapons. Unlike drones, which are controlled by military teams often thousands of miles away from where the flying weapon is being deployed, Nolan said killer robots have the potential to do calamitous things that they were not originally programmed for. There is no suggestion that Google is involved in the development of autonomous weapon systems. Last month, a UN panel of government experts debated autonomous weapons and found Google to be eschewing AI for use in weapons systems and engaging in best practice. Nolan, who has joined the Campaign to Stop Killer Robots and has briefed UN diplomats in New York and Geneva over the dangers posed by autonomous weapons, said, the likelihood of a disaster is in proportion to how many of these machines will be in a particular area at once. What you are looking at are possible atrocities and unlawful killings, even under the laws of warfare, especially if hundreds or thousands of these machines are deployed. There could be large-scale accidents because these things will start to behave in unexpected ways, which is why any advanced weapon system should be subject to meaningful human control. Otherwise, they have to be banned because they are far too unpredictable and dangerous. Google recruited Nolan, a computer science graduate from Trinity College, Dublin, to work on Project Maven in 2017, after she had been employed by the tech giant for 4 years, becoming one of its top software engineers in Ireland. She said she became increasingly ethically concerned over her role in the Maven program, which was devised to help the U.S. Department of Defense drastically speed up drone video recognition technology. Instead of using large numbers of military operatives to spool through hours and hours of drone video footage of potential enemy targets, Nolan and others were asked to build a system where AI machines could differentiate people and objects at an infinitely faster rate. Well, I think probably any sane person would agree that killer robots that operate autonomously are not a particularly good idea. Yet, this has not stopped the arms race from escalating. My view is that any country in the world that has a screwdriver is going to be initiating their own campaign to develop killer robots. Some will be big and sophisticated. Others will not be big and sophisticated. But the point is, sooner or later, something's going to happen, and the autonomous killing machine is going to make a really bad decision. And that's why the likelihood of actually starting a war is very high. Artificial intelligence software, I don't care how deep they can learn as they move about and observe the environment, they're still just programs. Programs can be hacked, and programs make mistakes. Well, I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Catch you next time.